Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, for the first time ever, all 30 NBA teams will be going head-to-head for an in-season tournament, and I'm absolutely pumped. That's why I'm partnering with DraftKings. They've got an incredible offer for you to take advantage of. All new customers who bet just $5 will receive $150 in bonus bets instantly. Oh, that's a swish. Don't wait. Download the DraftKings app now. Use my promo code, THELASTSTAND, and stay in on the action and use your $200 in bonus bets on DraftKings same-game parlays for a shot at an even bigger payout. Combine multiple bets together from the same game, including total points scored, of your number of rebounds by your favorite player. You can get all that and more. And if you've already signed up for DraftKings, no problem. All customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay, or SGPX. If your bet doesn't hit, max reward limits apply. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers, use my promo code, THELASTSTAND, and bet just $5, will receive $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code THELASTSTAND, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
It's The Last Stand, and here is your host, Brian Custer.
That's right. It is The Last Stand. I'm Brian Custer. We bring you the biggest names in the sport. And joining me today is a man who's been with us before. He's back. King Rye. Ryan Garcia is back on The Last Stand. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good to see you. Good to see you, Brian. Always good to see you, man.
Yes.
Amazing. You're amazing, man.
So are you, King. Look, you're back December 2nd. Oscar Duarte, he's known to be a tough guy. He's got knockout power. What kind of version of Ryan Garcia will we see on December 2nd?
You're going to get the best version of me possible. You know, I haven't been this dedicated and committed to the sport since 2020. This is the sharpest I've been since then, and even sharper now under the tutelage of Derek and what he's been teaching me and what he's been, what he's been training me to do. So this is the sharpest I've ever been, the most committed I've been in such a long time. I'm really feeling so good, so free, so happy. Just in love with the game like I was, you know, when I was on that come up and destroying everybody. So you're going to see the best version of me, the one that was knocking out, you know, Fonsecas and just running through everybody. You're going to see that and even a more mature and stronger Ryan for sure.
And you know, listening to you, my first thought listening to what you just said, I would say, wait a minute. That tank fight was so huge. You're telling me that wasn't the best, most committed Ryan Garcia we saw?
No, not at all. You know, you got to remember, after 2020 when I beat Luke Campbell, I think it was early 2021, I beat Luke Campbell. I had to go on my mental health break. And from there, you know, I took many steps backwards. I lost myself. I lost who I was as a fighter. I didn't even know really... couldn't really remember the things that I knew how to do, you know, in the ring and trying to make that comeback. I felt a little rushed into it. I still had really bad habits from my mental health issues. You know, I went to, you know, drinking a little bit and just doing whatever I wanted. Just lost love for everything. I won't even say I lost love for boxing. I lost love for everything. I came back because I had to, you know, it was wasting time and time was ticking. So I willed myself back into it, but without fixing those little things that were holding me back, you know, mentally and how you need to be for the sport of boxing. So I got back into it with takeout. Obviously, that wasn't my best performance because I was still figuring things out. And then, you know, I started feeling my rhythm again when I was staying active and I fought Fortuna and I felt a little sharper. Still not my sharpest, but I felt sharper and I was ready to get into another fight. And I wanted to fight Tank. And, you know, they iced me for a whole year. They kept on saying, you know, you're going to fight, you're going to fight. If you take another fight, we can't fight you. They said it would be in December. So a lot of that stuff was throwing me off, and those habits, since they didn't die out, came back. So I wasn't committed. I wasn't the man I am now. And that loss really woke in something in me. You know, it woke in, you know, me to look at myself and look on how I could be better. And I just took myself back to when was I my sharpest? When was I, you know, my best? And I look back to, you know, my younger days, and I was like, okay, so I got to get that commitment. So I fully committed. I trained with Derek regardless if there was a fight coming. I was with him in Vegas for the Spence fight, and I was just traveling everywhere he went. Not only that, you know, I scratched out a lot of those habits that I was having, and, you know, I just put my full focus, my full mental focus on boxing and just was committed. And now, man, I'm so sharp. It's actually disgusting how sharp I am. I literally could cut somebody with one of my punches. It's disgusting. No, but I'm just happy. I'm just happy because of where I'm at right now. You know, I have that peace inside. So, like, nothing right now can get to me because I know where I'm at right now as a person and as a fighter. So, yeah, that's what I mean by I wasn't as committed.
You know, it's interesting because when you talk to guys at your level and they suffer their first defeat, you hear a lot of like, yo, everybody around me left. I may have had some depression. You know, that was such a mega event when you fought Tank. Immediately after, what was it like dealing with your first professional loss?
It didn't have an effect on me, surprisingly. It just didn't feel like it was me. So I didn't feel like I lost. I just felt like a version of me lost that wasn't me, you know, like who I am as a fighter and how sharp I am. I'm way sharper than that. I'm way better fighter than that. And so it didn't have that type of, you know, salt on it. It was like, okay, I lost, but like, I just felt like nothing mattered to me. I was so depleted and so defeated internally of other things, you know, and the weight cut didn't help. And on all the things I had to go through, I just didn't feel like, you know, it was me at all. So that's why it didn't have effect on me, but it did wake up some hunger in me because I you know, about 2 months later, I thought, you know, I lost. Like, no matter what happened, I lost. And that, like, I don't like losing. Like, so it woke up that competitor in me and it drove me to this where I'm at now. You know, that's where it started. And, you know, it's tough, but again, I feel I'm the better fighter. I don't care what anybody says. I know I'm the better fighter. And if I get my rematch, I'm going to beat him. And, you know, regardless of the outcome of the first fight, I know I could come back and I could beat him. So my whole plan is to win a world title at 140 and dominate 140 and 147, both of those weight classes, and earn my spot. I want to earn it. I want to earn it. I want to beat, you know, some guys that I have to go through. If it has to be Teofimo Lopez, if it has to be a Devin Haney, whoever, I will do it to get that rematch and show everybody I could beat them.
You know, when you look back at that Tank fight, and I know the All Access, they were talking about, oh, did he get you on the rib? Did you have an injury going into that fight? Was it the rehydration cause? What was it when he placed that shot that you said, hey, look, man, I'm going to take this count and this fight is over?
No, well, you know, I did go into the ring with a rib injury, a separated rib from sparring. I was dehydrated and it was like one of the first shots of sparring. I didn't even get hit hard. My rib just sunken in, and I had to go to the hospital. Spent there some time, and I couldn't even run. I couldn't do anything. It was about 2 weeks before the fight. There was nothing I could do. You know, I decided that I wasn't going to pull out. Too much time has been put into this, and too much things, you know, went into making this fight happen. I wasn't going to pull out. On top of that, I had to cut the weight. So I had everything stacked against me, but it wasn't. I made this not about me. I made it about the sport, and people are going to say, you know, bad things about that. But for me, you know, I always loved the sport with all my heart. And I was bored of the sport. Don't get me wrong. The sport was boring. Nobody was fighting each other. It was trash. There was no energy. And then I brought the energy back to life for one night. In Vegas, it finally felt like boxing was back on fire for a day, for a night. Finally, we get to feel that excitement before that bell rings once again, like a Mayweather and an Oscar De La Hoya fight or a Mayweather Pacquiao. That excitement, and that's what I always wanted to bring to the sport. And I seen that was my opportunity, and I still went with it. So again, that's why nobody could tell me who I am, and nobody could. They could bash me all they want. They wouldn't have done that. And you see now in people, you know, negotiating for fights, when they bring up rehydration clause, nobody wants to do it. Because they know what they know really what it is, and if you don't know boxing, then you don't know actually what I did. They don't. Not only do I have to cut all that weight, and I've been at 135, 132 since I was 17 years old. You know, and I'm not a small guy. So people that know boxing know the risk I took. You know, I put my health in danger. I put a lot of things in danger, but I trusted that it's going better off the sport, and I'm gonna be okay because you know. Things are going to work out, and I made a bunch of money. I did good there. I provided life-changing money for my family. I can't be mad about that, but now it's a whole different goal. I got that out of the way. I'm a superstar. I made a bunch of money. What's next? I want to be one of the best in the sport. I want to be the best in the sport and get a title, so that's my main goal.
Are you surprised at all what you guys, and I'm talking about what you and Tank did for the sport, because the numbers were astronomical. No one has really achieved that at all this year when you talk about pay-per-view buys. But then it was almost as if, you know, Spence and Crawford were like, okay, well, you know what? Let's get it done. Ryan and Tank are fighting. And it's now all of a sudden guys are taking risks who were before maybe they were protecting that O. Now they're like, no, bump it. He's in his prime. I'm in my prime. Let's get it on. Are you surprised what you guys did for the sport?
No, I'm not surprised. That was my intention going in. I wanted to set the world on fire. I wanted to set the sport on fire, I mean. And I kind of just, I always knew that that's what it was going to do. Somebody had to do it. And I laid out the new blueprint. You know, the blueprint isn't, you know, trying to, you know, be that perfect fighter and trying to protect that. Oh, it's getting the fights on, you know, and giving the fans what they want. That's what's going to make the big pay-per-views. People have seen, you know, there's only one Floyd Mayweather is what I'm saying. There's only one Floyd Mayweather. There's not many Floyd Mayweather. You got to be your own person, and that's what's going to separate you from everybody else. I'm going to show my greatness through a loss. That's the difference. People could, you know, oh, greatness is only winning. No, greatness is how you come in. From a loss. I mean, we've seen it time and time again in other sports. Tiger Woods, his comeback inspired me. You know, so many other athletes that, you know, Muhammad Ali, when he came back from you know, going to jail for denying service and then comes back, loses to Joe Frazier, but then comes back and wins. That's my heart. That's where I'm at. You know, I'm here to make a stand. Like the last stand, I'm here to make a stand and then come back and show you who I am. Because I'm bigger than boxing. I'm not just boxing. I'm much more deeper than boxing. I'm going to handle this sport. You're going to see. Now I'm putting my full dedication to it. But that I'm bigger than the sport. And I'm going to show everybody when I come back. And, you know, Duarte, tough fighter. And a fighter that I've seen before, you know, growing up in Southern California. You got the pressure fighters. You got the guys that you want to get dirty and whatnot. So I've seen this before. But, you know, he's a tough challenge. But for me, this is more about an example. I'm setting the tone. This is the Ryan Garcia you're going to get at the 140 division. So that's the statement I'm here to make. You're getting this guy here. Yeah, this one. This is not one that's playing and worried about other things. This one's all in. So that's what I'm looking forward to make on this fight.
Well, you know, you talked about the changes, and one of them is a guy who I know very well in Derek James. Give me the one thing that you, when it came down to it, you said, yeah, I'm going to make a change, and I'm going with Derek James. What was it? What was that one thing that you liked about Derek James? You said, okay, he's the guy for me going forward.
You know, I'll be honest. I'll take you back. I was in my plane headed back home after the loss, and I was just, you know, I don't know why, but I just felt God's presence over me, and I just kind of locked in with that and meditated and just prayed to him about, you know, who I should have as a trainer. And it just was getting spoken to me, you know, Derek James. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, Derek James also is in Dallas, Texas, a place that I wanted to move. So a lot of things kept aligning to, you know, to that decision. And it was one of the best decisions I've made, because Derek really is one of those guys, man. He really, really pays attention to technique, and he just knows how to talk to me. We have a really good chemistry, and he was just somebody I needed. You know, he's a very bright mind and great philosopher at times, and just a guy that, you know, doesn't let me let up, doesn't let me, you know, if I have a good day, what's that? You know what I mean? There's no letting up. You know, you're just never satisfied. And he's a guy that, you know, I made a great choice in. And I'm happy. I'm happy in Dallas, way better than being in L.A. A lot of distractions in L.A. and a lot of things that kept me away from the game. Being away from that detoxed me from everything. And now I feel much more balanced and much more in control over my career.
You know, I think it's interesting on social media. You've always been active there, but boy, so has Shakur Stevenson. Now, look, he did not have a good performance at all, and a number of people have come at him. Devin Haney has been one of them. You two have had some back and forth. Tell me, what is the deal that bugs you the most about Shakur Stevenson?
You know what, like. I've already said a lot about it, and I don't know if I want to keep on pressing on it. I'll give you something, but I already said enough to him. But like I said in the other interview, he is just an arrogant person, and he's arrogant in real life. That's why I don't like him, you know, and I don't say that about a lot of people. You know, I don't. I love a lot of people, man. I'm right here. I'm cool with everybody. But, man, that guy, he's just been ticking me off since the amateurs. I want to just kick his ass. Now I just want to kick his ass. Now it's just like there's enough of the talking. You know, I'm here to kick his ass. And if he wants that, I'll beat his ass. I'm tired of him. It's just you talk way too much shit. And when he talks shit, he's talking shit. It's not like to entertain. It's not – he's taking everything personal. And all right, you want to take it personal, we can take it personal. But I don't like to do that. But he's so arrogant that – it's to the point where I got to whoop his ass. That's the guy that I just want to whoop his ass. It will be a different motivation. I'm whooping his ass to the point where he can't run with me. I'm getting to his ass. Like, he's not going to throw no punches. What do I got to worry about? You know what I mean? I just got to worry about shit. Like, is the fans going to be entertained? This motherfucker's going to be running. Running. Damn, man. Stop it.
You know, because the latest was you was like, hey, look, I'm a 3-division world champion. Hey, man, you have never been a world champion.
I'll respond to that. Yeah. Actually, I did break a record. You know, I'm the first fighter to make $30 million without a world title. How about that? Because these titles, anybody could win the title. Anybody could win the title. And we know that. And anybody knows that. That he didn't fight no crazy competition. He got a lot of vacant titles. Like, anybody who knows boxing knows what it is, man. Like, this is how the organization, they do their thing. You know, I don't want to get too political. It is what it is. I want to be a world champion. I'm not dissing the world titles. I want to become a world champion. I want to get that title. But again, if I beat Aroles, like, how much of a world champion am I? I'm a world champion on paper. World champion is beating a guy. Like, if I would have beat Tank, I would have called myself a world champion, you know, at that time, because that's what it means to be a world champion, is be better than the better guy, be better than the best. World champion means you're better than everybody. That's the real definition. Stop with this curving around, you know, beating around the bush. Let's speak some truth. Let's be real. A world champion is being the best guy in the division. That's the world champion. Or beating the current world champion that actually won the title, you know, and that's what I'm about, man. That's why I don't hear the noise. I don't hear the noise because, you could say that, great, boom, boom, boom. That's not going to feed your families. And two, it's not even legitimate. So go eat, have them apples, you know. Like, come on, man. I'm going to speak some real stuff. I'm tired of this shit. You know what I mean? You could spread the 3-time, 4-time, 5-time, 8-time. Nah, you could be a quadrillion world champion. You didn't beat nobody. It don't matter. To me, at least.
I love it. You know, one of the things you talked about on social media, you said, and this, I'm quoting you, you said, quote, I'm tired of the disrespect. I'm fed up. I've been at 50% for so long. It's going to be different.
Yeah. And I stand on that. I've been disrespect because they tell me about Dean the Great and Anthony, Ugly Boy Taylor, whatever his name is, and KS. Dumbass, or whatever his name is. It's just all these comparisons. Like, bro, I've been boxing since I was 7 years old, man. Don't even mention these guys with me. I will blow them out the water in the same day and within 3 to 4 rounds, man. Just, this is the disrespect I'm talking about. I was on the USA team. I did all that. These guys can't mess with me. Talking about, he can handle me. What the hell are we talking about? That's the disrespect I'm talking about. I would not, I like Jake Paul. Just stop, man. Jake Paul won't handle me. Nobody will handle me. I mean, I'm cool with Jake and Logan and all of them, you know, but they can't mess with me in the ring. I'm happy Jake is taking it seriously. He's beating these dudes up and making a lot of money. But, you know, he's my friend, but he can't beat me in boxing. Come on.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. What is this?
Oh, my God. Let's talk about going forward here because Bernard Hopkins, one of your promoters, he told FightHype.com, quote, I will see. He's talking about you. I will see how Ryan looks and then make my personal decision on whether he should fight again. I know
what
that.
What the hell does he mean by I'll make a decision? He ain't gonna make shit. He can't make shit about me. You know what? This is the crazy thing is, like, I'm gonna box my ass off and it's gonna be great. And then I'm gonna box my ass off for a team that don't even believe in me. But damn, they'll collect that money that I'm making them though. They collect that $6 million, though. But you don't know if I should box again, but you made that money off that fight, though. Yeah, shut up. Watch. When I win, that's just what it's going to be. I'm going to look at them like, bro, don't even mess with me. Don't even mess with me because I'm so sharp right now. I have no worries that I'm going to look great, amazing. They're going to look like, damn. They're going to be like a salty ex. Like, fuck, dude, I wish I stayed with them. I wish I just was nice to them. Why didn't I just speak better to them? Please, like, I'm sorry. But come back, baby, come back. Yeah, shut up. No, I'm just tired. Like, how is your own team talking shit about you? Think about that. No, yeah. Think about it. Why would your own team talk shit about you? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's a good point. No, absolutely. It really
I'm their
is.
Only fighter.
Yeah.
What other fighter is going to make them money?
Yeah.
None. So why would you disrespect your only superstar fighter right now? What logic does that have? I mean, even a dude that don't know shit about the sport can figure that one out.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So I don't know.
That's a good point. Another thing that came out of recently was the president of Golden Boy, Eric Gomez, said that before Duarte, that they had talked to Don King about possibly doing a fight with you and Adrian Broner. And Broner obviously has been on social media saying, yo, Ryan Garcia sent the contract. Let's get it popping in 2024. Give me your thoughts about that.
That man has great growing out his damn beard. There is no way we're fighting. I don't know how I'm going to beat Adrian Broner. That is messed up, man. Y'all want Adrian Broner to go out sad, man. I like Adrian. AB's my guy. But, man, this man out here looking almost close to Santa, man, with this shit getting so white, man. Gray-ass beard, big belly. He can't even make 140. What are you talking about? Who the hell is talking this? This is crazy, man.
Oh, my gosh. You're crazy. Listen, I got to get your thoughts because you're so intelligent about this thing. You know, Paramount has decided to pull the plug on Showtime Championship Boxing, so we're done at the end of the year. But I know you and Terrence Crawford had talked about, look, the sport needs to make some changes. What kind of overhaul do you think the sport of boxing needs?
I mean, you just need to see the dynamic of where everything's headed to. You know, movies have changed and platforms have changed and different dynamics of the networks have changed, and streaming has been now a big part of you know, just TV in general. TV has changed.
Yeah.
So you need to move with the movement. You know, you have a lot of these promoters that are stuck in the 90s and the 2000s and 10s and haven't really, you know, gave this new evolution of TV a chance because they're scared, you know. And for me, I just know that in this day and age, people want things faster. So for me, I know that if you're going to do a big event, it needs to be a big event. It can't just be anything, because once people pay for something and it's not what they're expecting, then they're not going to pay for it again, you know, or they want to see their favorite show. Like for example, a person will watch their favorite show, but they want to binge watch it now. They don't want to watch an episode and wait another week and then it come out again. They want to watch that fight now. You know what I mean? They don't want to wait and wait and wait and wait. So for me, it's just being strategic. I would have to talk to Terrence and we could maybe we're going to talk about after the fight. We had a text message and he wants me to focus on my fight. And I think that makes sense. But I have my own strategic plans in my head on how I would run it. But again, I don't have anybody to work with yet. And I don't have my own promotion coming. I don't have anything, but I do have a bright mind. And I know how to make a big event in this day and age. And I know how to promote myself. I know how to promote other fighters. I give a lot of tips to young people in the gym. And I, you know, a couple guys have listened to me are now making waves. And the guys that are following my blueprint are getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's just something I've been, I don't know. I just have a natural instinct on how to do this. So we'll talk to Terrence and maybe make something happen.
You know the deal, Ryan. For everybody who watches this show, we allow them to submit questions through social media. And every time we have you on, we have like 50,000, but we're only going to get to a couple. Call Me Daddy Boxing on X asks, "Who will you fight a champion at 140 next, like the Regis Haney winner, T.O., Rolly, or Subriel Matias?"
You know what? Like I said, my whole plan is to become a champion. So however that road looks, however which way we decide to do that is the one we're going to do. I'm not 100% clear on how that looks. Like, I can't say that I'm going to fight either of those guys next. I can very well. I have to talk to Derek. You know, I let Derek choose this opponent. I'll probably let Derek choose the next one and just let him guide me. I just want to destroy everybody and get to a title. That's it. So wherever that looks like, if Derek says go and handle Teofimo Lopez, I'm going to go beat his ass. If he goes say go handle Devin Haney, I'm going to go beat his ass. Whatever my coach says to go do, I'm going to do. If he wants me to go beat up somebody else, I'll go beat up somebody else.
I love it.
He goes sick him, boy, I'll go sick him. You know what I mean?
Rob asks, how hard did Tank hit? Or how hard does Tank hit?
Surprisingly, not hard. And I know Rolly said this before, and a lot of people that have gotten hit by him say that he doesn't have a hard punch. He has pinpoint accuracy that if it hits you and you don't see it coming, you're going to get dropped and you're going to get hurt. You know, so he's being subtle. You know, you don't know when it could come, and then when it comes, it's too late. So that's how you knock people out. You don't knock people out because punch hard. You knock people. Well, you have to have power, of course, but you also need to be deceptive. He's pretty good at that. So I would say his punching power is average, but he has deceptive power. I mean, deceptive shots that will catch you if you're not paying attention all the time.
Got it. AM Sports Media asks, how many fights, Ryan, in 2024, and will you re-sign with Golden Boy when your deal is up?
I'm not going to get into that whole Golden Boy thing, but I am going to say I want to be as active as I possibly can. I want to be at least three fights in 2024. That's my goal, three fights or two or three. That's my goal.
All right. All right, Ryan Garcia, we've come to the last segment of the show. It is called The Last Stand. You know the deal. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You just give me the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, since you are in that Derrick James camp, the rematch is on. It will happen in 2024, Spence and Crawford. Do you think that fight will be any different at 154?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I think that Arrow, you know, they didn't look like himself. So I think that you always have a chance if you come back and you have that focus and you fix the things that you think you did wrong. And, you know, I think that it's respectful that he wants that rematch because the first one didn't go his way in any way. But again, for him to say, all right, I got to run that back and I could get that back, you got to respect it. And I think that he's going to be stronger. He's going to be much more aware. You could see it didn't even look like he could talk in the back room because he was so drained. I remember seeing him in the beginning of the camp. He was so lively. He was talking to me. And then at the end, he wasn't talking no more. So, maybe, you know, it should be different.
Devin Haney, Regis Prograis. Who wins that fight?
you got to hand it to, I think, Devin. Devin is, for me, too experienced, too fast, and just knows how to use his boxing abilities to his best. And Regis is a little slow and flat-footed and doesn't, you know, can't really – I just think he has a puncher's chance, of course. Anything can happen in boxing, but I think Devin wins a unanimous decision.
Ryan Garcia aside, in your opinion, who is the best fighter right now at 140 pounds?
Ryan Garcia.
Besides Ryan Garcia.
I don't know this guy. I was kidding. I was going to say my name again. But you know what? I don't know, and I don't care. Forget okay. those dudes. I'm hungry. It. I'm that guy. You're going to see. I'm that guy, Brian. I'm that guy.
Okay. Sugar Sean O'Malley has talked about doing a boxing match with you. He's also talked about fighting Tank. In your opinion, which fight is more likely to happen? Ryan Garcia versus Sean O'Malley or Ryan Garcia versus Gervonta Tank Davis?
Ryan Garcia versus Sean O'Malley. I think the company knows that I'm way more marketable than Tank, and I'll make sure that I promote it way better than Tank. Tank don't even promote fight. He doesn't know how. I did all that, you know. But again, UFC already said it. I carried that promotion. It's hard to promote Tank. He doesn't really talk too much and not really, you know. But again, Tank's a big star. Don't get me wrong. It would still be a huge fight if they do it. I would push back a little bit on the UFC on that. I think that it would still be a huge fight. But I want to take that fight to Saudi Arabia. And I'm going to destroy Sean O'Malley. That's not even a challenge. I'll knock that whole afro off. He needs to take that afro off. What the hell is he doing? I'll smack him so hard that shit falls off.
Okay.
I'll make him think about that twice. If he won't ever have an afro again after that, I promise you. I'll change him into salty Sean O'Malley. He won't be sugar. He'll be salty. Salty Sean O'Malley. I'll beat his ass so bad. It will be bad. He won't even fight in the UFC no more. He'll quit. He's like, oh, hell no. I'm not fighting no more.
You're too much. You're too much.
Reconstructed is the bat.
Okay. Tank Davis says he's the face of boxing. Canelo Alvarez says he's the face of boxing. In your opinion, who is the face of boxing right now?
I'm the next face of boxing. Tank's not the face of boxing. I'm the next face of boxing. He did 250K buys. My first one, I did 1.2. I brought him 1 million pay-per-view buys. Well, I mean, we did it together, but like I said, that was my blueprint. It wasn't his. You know, that's why he put all those things on me, because he didn't want that fight to happen. But guess what? We still made it happen. It was still a big fight. I'm the face of boxing next after Canelo. Canelo's the face of boxing right now, but I'm the next one. Tank, he's good. He's good. He's a pay-per-view fighter, but he's not the face of boxing. I'm the next face of boxing. Remember this. 5 years from now, you're like, yeah, damn right. That man was right. Ryan was right. We love Ryan. And I love you. Last stand, baby.
Okay. Here we go. Last question. At this time in 2024, Ryan Garcia will be, you finish it.
Will be a 2-3 division world champion, legitimately, and one of the biggest stars in boxing, and would have knocked out Sugar Sean O'Malley in Saudi Arabia, and I might go and beat 3 YouTubers up in one night. That's what you're going to see. Thank you, baby. Love you. Let's go. Drop me up, baby.
That's what we got on the last day. We bring you the biggest names in the sport. And right now, I guess we have the new face of boxing.
There it is, baby. Look at him. Get a good look at him. He is handsome.
King Ryan Garcia. I appreciate you, my brother. Good luck December 2nd, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you again next week.